Let's go straight into the Word of God. For your Spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for that work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that great work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that great work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that we have. We decree that as we go into the Word this evening, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which you've bestowed upon us by that work of redemption. We ask and receive that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught this evening. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion in our hearts. There is no confusion. And we pray that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So we would continue in the line in which we've along the line we've been having a couple of things, you know, we've been dealing with a couple of things for a while right now. We trust that we would have clarity this evening. We trust that the truth of God's word would be taught with clarity this evening. Yeah, we trust we'll have a beautiful time this evening. So keep, as usual, keep your questions. If you have questions, as usual, make sure you keep your questions and get your questions across to me. So we've been studying, investigating scriptures. We're still in under the series one. This is the first series of the so many series that will come ahead, you know, ahead in the future. But this is the first series of so many. We've been dealing with certain things, how to study the Bible in simple forms, how to explain scriptures, and how to explain scriptures, what scripture says about us, and how to read the Bible. You know, it's important that to note that there is so much, what's the word, there's so much importance to Bible interpretation as saints, because that is what it can make or my believer. When I mean make or my believer, I'm not talking about the end destination or the salvation, but I'm talking about the way a believer lives his or her life. You know, I've seen false doctrine kill people. I've seen some people die because of false doctrine. I've seen some people die because of wrongly quoting scriptures. You know, throughout this series, since the beginning of March, we've looked at certain scriptures and explained them in proper contextual analysis, you know, examining the contextual analysis, grammatical analysis, you know, and sometimes cultural analysis and things like that. We saw some examples like the Hebrew woman giving birth, how people say that they would deliver like Hebrew women, you know, but actually we saw that's a false teaching. It's nowhere in scriptures, and there is no special way that Hebrew women used to give birth. We saw Paul saying, dropping down some dung so that he could know Christ, and we saw that was not a prayer. In recent times, we also saw what James meant by "ye receive not because ye ask amiss." We saw all of those and things like that. And you remember on the side, we started a series on baptism, which is what we would continue just as soon as we are done with, or at least as soon as we get to a particular place or point under the basics, understanding scriptures 101. Yeah, if you have your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to Ephesians. While going to Ephesians, go to 2 Timothy. 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 Or in fact, while you are going to 2 Timothy, let's see 2 Corinthians 11. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember, we are going to Ephesians 3, but we want to go through first. We want to go through 2 Corinthians through to 2 Timothy, then to Ephesians 3. So if you have the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. I would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. Yeah, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Look at what he now says in verse 4. He now says, For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Yeah, Paul is saying, if any other person comes to preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not yet received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with me. So now we see that Paul is saying that there is a particular teaching, there's a particular doctrine, there's a particular gospel that has been given to the saints. There is a spirit that has been given to the saints, and he doesn't dispute the fact that there are other people who would most likely want to, or would definitely be preaching another gospel. You know, he gave a similar admonition like this to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Remember, we're dealing with investigating scriptures. Today, we will just see a few things, a few truths that we need to hold on to while studying the Bible. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Look at what he says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Yeah, Paul is saying, I'm shocked, I'm marveled. Yeah, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. You know, if you remember from our previous teachings, we've established that any gospel that when heard, it troubles your heart is another gospel. You see, Paul says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. So there are some doctrines that causes, that tries to shake the confidence that the saint has. Yeah, so he says, and there are some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, but look at verse 8, but though we, see it again, he says, but though we, or an angel from heaven. So Paul includes himself, myself, including other apostles, or an angel from heaven, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, than that which we have received. Yeah, say that carefully. It says, if anyone, including an angel. Yeah, remember we established that. If Paul can say, even if an angel preaches another gospel, it means that the revelation, the book of Revelation, yeah, Revelation of Jesus Christ that was written by John, which is the last book of the Bible, if it creates fear. Look at it. See verse 7. It says, but there be some that trouble you. Amongst these some that trouble you may include angels, may include humans, may include pastors, may include people. But he says, if any. So it means that if you read the book of Revelations, for instance, and you live there with an unsettled heart, you've not read Revelations properly. A saint is to go to the book of Revelation and read with a particular lens, such that when he lives with a reaffirmation of his identity. He lives with an affirmation of eternal life. A saint properly reading the book of Revelation must live Revelation with a heart that is not troubled. Paul says, if anybody teaches any other message that troubles you, he says, another gospel, any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What's the word there, accursed? It means be separated. Don't go close to. Put aside. Don't go close to. Don't go near. Don't associate with. Yet, put aside. Put at a distance. Let him be accursed. He says, look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, look at it. He's saying, I've said this thing before. In case you didn't say it, in case you didn't hear it. He says, as we have said before, so say I now. What is he saying again? If any. Yeah. If any man, including angel, because he highlighted that from verse 8. If any man, including any angel, including any spirit being, preaches any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In case you didn't hear the first time, you should hear the second time. Yeah, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. Remember, he said the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What did he say there? He said that there is a gospel we have preached. He also reaffirmed that there are men that will preach a different gospel. Galatians now makes it clear. He now says, I marvel not that you've been moved away from the gospel that you've received. But it says that if any other man preaches any other gospel. Now, what does this mean for us? Now, remember, we're going to Ephesians 3, yeah? But we're going through Galatians, yeah? And 2 Corinthians. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 2 first. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Look at what 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. See what it says? It says, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy, giving him certain admonitions. He's saying, study, he should labor to show himself as approved. He should be eager, he should strive, he should be diligent. He should have an attitude of painstakingly going through things, researchfully going through things. Yeah, it's a study to show thyself as approved. Yeah, that word there, study, means rigorous study, rigorous reading. Yeah, remember we're going to Ephesians now. So hold your hand in 2 Timothy 2 and go with me to Ephesians 3. See Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. See what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at the same Paul. He says verse 3. Look at it. He says, how that by revelation. Let's start from verse 1. Look at verse 1. Ephesians 3 verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Look at verse 3. How that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. What is a mystery? Something that is yet to be explained. Yeah, but glory to God. Remember, 1 Corinthians will show us, I have not seen, ear has not heard. Yeah, but we have received. We have received. Now we know. Yeah, remember we established when he says, I have not seen, ear has not heard. He's not talking about a job. He's not talking about a house. So look at it. He says, how that by revelation, he made known unto me that thing that was hidden, that thing that was yet to be explained. Look at it, it says, as I wrote afore in few words, look at verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known. Hallelujah. It wasn't made known, but now it is made known. So those things that I had not seen at the time of Prophet Isaiah is now made clear to us as saints. Yeah, so back to 2 Timothy 2. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah, that same word, read. So you can replace that word there, study, with read. So read rigorously to show thyself as approved of God. Read rigorously to show thyself as approved of God. A workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, Paul, you see, as minister of the gospel, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, and the book of Titus, they are very instructive books to the saints. They are very instructive books to the minister of reconciliation. He said, study to show thyself as approved of God. Look at verse 16. Now says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He now says, and their words will eat as though a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So Paul mentions and gives examples of false teachers. He now says what the false teachers are saying. Look at verse 18. Who concerning the truth, they've erred, they've gone into error. What is the thing they are saying that is in error? They are saying that the resurrection is past already. You see, before you continue in verse 18, go back to verse 11. Look at verse 11. 2 Timothy 2 verse 11. Look at what it says in verse 11. Verse 11, 2 Timothy 2 verse 11. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What is a faithful saying? A faithful saying is in the fact that in that we partook of that death of Christ and is alive, we shall also be alive. We are also alive and we shall live forever. But there are some people who have thwarted this truth. What is their thwarting saying? Look at verse 18. Who concerning the truth, they've erred, they've gone into error. What is their error saying? That the resurrection is past already. And this overthrows the faith of some. What does Paul now say? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Remember, we've done proper exegesis on this to show that when he says the Lord knows them that are his, he's not speaking about people but doctrine. Yeah, he's not speaking about people but doctrine. He's speaking about doctrine. So there's a doctrine that the Lord knows is for him. You know, so let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What is iniquity here? He's not the iniquity here, remember, will only make sense in the context. The iniquity here was stated in verse 18. Who saying concerning the resurrection, or be who have heard rather, saying that the resurrection is already past. That is the iniquity of 2 Timothy 2. He now goes further in verse 20. He now says, but in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Yeah, just saying, it's wise not to end there. Yeah, so what does Paul try to paint a picture of? He paints a picture of a house, yeah? A house that has, you have TVs, you have televisions, you have a toilet, you know, you have several furnitures around the house. He now says some are from wood, some are vessels of gold and silver. Why did he bring that conversation or that narrative into the conversation? He explains in verse 21, he says, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So, what does being a vessel unto honor mean? It means that a man that purges himself of this. What are the this? Who concerning the truth they've heard? For the Lord knoweth those that are his. Look at it again. Look at verse 21. It says, if any man therefore purge himself from this. So, what is purging yourself? Purging yourself is actually being a vessel unto honor. It says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. That's qualified for the master's use, that is prepared unto every good work. So what does it mean for a man to purge himself? For a man to purge himself means that he is going to what? Be careful. He's going to hearken to the instruction of verse 16, which says, shun profane and vain babblings. So a man, when shunning profane and vain babblings, in the real sense, what he is doing is that he is purging himself. In the real sense, what he is doing is making himself available as a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. So we see now, the initial instruction we'll be reading from verse 15 is study, rigorous studying. The idea of this series is for us to have a mindset as to what Bible study entails. You know, we're trying to help ourselves to see the truth of God's word for what it is. We're trying to help ourselves to see the truth of God's word for what it is. You know, so today I'm going to try to help ourselves to see certain things that are needful in Bible study. So you can title it truths to hold on to in Bible study. Or rather, you can say truths to hold on to in the study of 2 Timothy 2:15. You can call it the truths to hold on to in researchfully studying. You can call it the truths you need to know while painstakingly going through scriptures. You can call it the truths you need to hold while purging yourself of false doctrine. You can also call it the truths you need to hold on to while making yourself a vessel unto honor. Yeah, remember, a believer is to study to show himself as approved of God, just like what Paul told Timothy. It's the same thing he's saying you do. Yeah, so a believer is to know. So there are certain things that you must know from the scriptures. There are certain things you must hold on to with all your heart when dealing with scriptures. There are certain truths. We're going to just go through all of them from today, maybe next week, and we'll see how that will go. Number one, we started this already, you know, but I'll just go through them again. Number one, you must know that the Bible is a Christocentric material. Yeah, if you remember very well, in our previous teaching, we've established a setting and different types of studies that is done or that we can do as saints. We've spoken about bibliology, eschatology, we've spoken about soteriology, we've spoken about pneumatology, you know, we spoke about all those things, the several studies that a saint can have in scriptures and from scriptures. Now, you must understand that the Bible is a Christocentric book. What does that mean? It means that the center focus of the Bible is Christ. Yeah, number one, the Bible is a Christocentric book. It means that the theme, the central focus of the Bible is Christ. Yeah, 2 Timothy, I'm sure you're still 2 Timothy, you can just write it down while I read 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That means there is the wisdom of scriptures. What is the wisdom of scriptures? Remember, at the time when 2 Timothy was written, the second Timothy in itself was not existing. So scriptures will mean Genesis to Malachi. So he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, The only scriptures they are able, which are able, they have an ability. They are able to make you wise unto salvation. So how do you know a saint that has properly read the Bible? A saint that has properly read the Bible is the one that goes into the Bible and sees salvation from what he reads. How do you know a man that poorly reads the Bible? A man that poorly reads the Bible is one that goes into the Bible and thinks the Bible is talking about him. Actually, the Bible speaks about the saints found in Christ. But the theme of the Bible is God's great plan of salvation. So men at different times spoke about that great plan of salvation. So when you go to Genesis, how do you know you read Genesis well? You go to Genesis, you don't see geography, you don't see biology. What do you see? The theme is salvation. When you go to Exodus, what do you see? The theme is salvation. When you go to Ezekiah, what do you see? The theme is salvation. When you go to the book of Isaiah, what do you see? The theme is salvation. So Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at even Jesus himself said, look at John. Go to John 5:39. John chapter 5 verse 39. John 5:39. Look at what he says. John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them, you think you have eternal life. But actually, they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ is the testimony of the Bible. Yeah, Jesus Christ is the testimony of scriptures. Yeah, Jesus Christ is the testimony. So when you say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of their testimony. The word of the testimony of the saints is the overcoming that came by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, I'll say that one more time. Yeah, Jesus overcame. Yeah, Jesus overcame. Yeah, that is the word of our testimony. Look at this again. It says, and you search the scriptures, John 5 verse 39. You think ye have eternal life in them, but actually they are they which testify of me. So when you read the Bible, whose testimony should you see? You should see Christ. Yeah. The Bible, remember, in previous weeks, we've done a proper differentiation, or we've tried to differentiate between exegesis and exegesis. Exegesis means reading in context, while exegesis means superimposing your emotional thinking or thoughts into scriptures. We looked at so many scriptures like that. So when you see Jeremiah, I know the plan I have for you, they have good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. That wasn't speaking about corona, or whatever challenge you are going through. Yeah, that was speaking about Christ. Yeah, so every believer has come to the expected end of God. Every believer, a man that is found in Christ, has come to the expected end. So when he says, for I know the plans I have for you, they are of good and not of evil. That's good. And that plan is the plan of salvation. 2 Timothy tells us, he says that all scriptures are given by inspiration. The previous verse says that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, they are able to make thee wise concerning salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So a saint is to read scriptures with a bias. You know, go back to that John. Look at that John. Look at John 5. Look at John 5. They testify of me. So scriptures is it. Look at, okay. See 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Hold your hands in John 5 and go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 9. You know, we've done a teaching on this already before. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Look at it. It says, receiving the end of your faith. You see, I know the plans for you. They are of good. The plans I have towards you, they are of good and not of evil. Look at it. 1 Peter shows you, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Yeah, so a man that has believed the gospel has fulfilled destiny. Every other challenge, every other thing you are trying to become, a doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, every other thing is your personal desire. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. That is your personal desire. Yeah, God doesn't call people to be doctors. Yeah, God does not call any man to be a businessman. God doesn't call any man to be a nurse. Yeah, what God wants as his will, look at Benjamin tell us, is God's will for man is that all men be saved. So when a man believes the gospel, he has received, yeah, he has come into the perfect plan, perfect will of God for mankind. So do you want to be a doctor? That's fine, go ahead with that. But God doesn't call you to be a doctor. Yeah, do you want to be a lawyer? Go ahead with that. There's nothing wrong. You see, we are product of influences. Yeah, you want to be an engineer because somebody somewhere somehow has influenced you using that field. So look at it, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even this, that is the salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul. Look at what it now says in the next verse. of which salvation, that is this salvation you have received, this salvation the prophet had inquired and they searched diligently. Oh, glory to God. The salvation that you have, dear saints, the prophets of old, they desired and they searched diligently. They desired and they inquired and they searched diligently. Yet, who prophesied of the grace that should come upon you? That means the grace that you've received, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that you've received. The prophets of time past, they prophesied it ahead. Look at verse 11. What were they searching? They were searching what, or what manner of time that the Spirit, that the message of Christ which was in them, did signify. That means they had a message. The message was about Christ. They look forward to you. Yeah, you have fulfilled that message they were looking forward to. That's why you see the fathers of old, they will say things like, oh, we look forward to that city whose maker and builder is God. Who is that city? The saint is the city. Yeah, the body of Christ is the city whose maker and builder is God. Yeah, God has built that city. Yeah, he says, for I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So upon resurrection, the church of Christ has been built. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at it. It says, searching what manner that the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So Ezekiel, what was he saying? He was actually speaking about this. He was actually testifying about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow such sufferings. Go back to John chapter 5. Look at it. It says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which point to me. Hallelujah. Look at verse 45. He says, look at verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Why? Because he wrote of me. So who did Moses write about? He wrote about Christ. Look at verse 47. But if you believe not Moses' writing, how shall you believe my words? That means the things Jesus were saying, they were not different from the things, or they were not different from fulfilling the things that Moses the prophet spoke about. So number one truth to hold on when you go through scriptures is that the Bible is a literature book that is a Christocentric material. The Bible is a Christocentric literature speaking about God's great plan of salvation. It was spoken at diverse time, yeah, by diverse ways in parts and portion, but God came to reveal that through his Son, Christ Jesus. So the theme, the subject, the authority of scriptures is salvation. The Bible is not for business. The Bible is not for academics. The Bible is not for finances. The Bible is not for your personal goals. No, put your personal goals and use textbooks to read that, to grow in that. But when it comes to the Bible, you must understand that it is a Christocentric material. Number two, you can have all the Greek and Hebrew Bibles and dictionaries and lexicons and still have a wrong interpretation of scriptures. I'll say that again. It's possible for a man to know all the Greek words. Super Lambadino, Lambano, Spadazo, Monet. You can know all the Greek words, but yet still have a wrong interpretation of scriptures. Yet, follow attentively. You can have all the Greek Bibles, Greek lexicons, and still have a poor interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. You can have you can have 20 Greek Bibles, 20 Hebrew Bibles, you can have dictionaries and lexicons, and still have a wrong interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, you can know the word allos paracletos, but you might not know the explanation in context. Now, number three will follow suit with number two. So number three flows from number two. The most important and vital study aid in Bible study is reading. Number three, the most important and vital study aid in Bible study is reading. The most important and vital study aid in Bible study is reading. Number three, the most important and vital study aid in Bible study is reading. You see, it's often as you read deliberately that you are able to notice the use of words. You know, a word, you see something? The dictionary only gives you probable meanings of words. But the real definition of a word is derived from the context in which it is used. Remember the example we gave on Sunday? Yeah, you can say, I killed him. And what you meant was that you literally used a knife and stabbed him. You can say, I killed him. And what you really meant was that you actually dealt with him in football or in soccer. Hallelujah. So reading, remember, how did we sort the issues we had with Hebrew women delivery? We just read in context. And we saw that it was a faulty doctrine established on the lies of women. Yeah, when I mean women, I'm not being particular. I'm talking of the Hebrew midwives in context of Exodus chapter 1. So the most important and vital study aid in the Bible study is reading. The moment you get it wrong with reading, every study material you have or you use might only or can only deepen your error in interpretation. Say that again. The moment you get it wrong with reading in context, yeah, a word only has life in the context in which it is used. So the moment you get it wrong with all your materials, the only thing your materials do to you is to deepen your or to give you more depth in error. Glory to God. Number four, yeah, we've done number 1, 2, 3, 4 before, so I'm just going over it again. Number four, consider removing chapters and verses. Yeah, consider when reading the Bible. You know, sometimes you remember when we did Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know you more, that I may know Christ and the power of the resurrection. What we did was we read the entire chapter and we saw the context in which Paul spoke. Sometimes when you want to get clarity as to what you want to read, you know, you might want to read from the first word in the letter. So, for instance, there are some things we would explain in Romans chapter 8 that will make sense only if we start reading from Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why Paul says that when you read. Yeah, yeah. So reading is a very, very important tool in Bible study. Number four, we've already said consider removing chapters and verses, because chapters and verses were done in recent times. So it's best to read the Bible as books, as chapters, better still as books. We also established that chapters and verses, they aid mostly in quoting and in memorizing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, number five, you need to understand the basics of the gospel of Christ very well. Number five, you need to understand the basics of the gospel of Christ very well. I'll say that again. You need to understand the basics of the gospel of Christ very well. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 will show us 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I deliver to you that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. You know, Paul told Timothy the gospel. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Verse 3 now says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. What did he receive? How that Christ died for the sins of mankind according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we must understand what the gospel is. It is only a proper understanding of the gospel that will help you or guide you in navigating the scriptures. Remember, Jesus already showed us. Jesus says the scriptures testify of him. Yeah, the scriptures, that means as a saint, you already have a bias when going through scriptures. A good bias. What is the good bias? That scriptures point to the gospel of Christ. That scriptures point to God's great plan of salvation. That scriptures point to Christ himself as the savior of the world. So you must understand the basics of the gospel of Christ very well. Yeah, your note you can write very well to be in bold. Very well. It's a book with a bias already. The book already has definite, defined basis and bias. The bias is Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Number six, Moses is a major writer. Number six, write this down. Moses is a major writer. Moses is a major writer. What am I saying? Most of, if not all, other writers in the Bible, they wrote having precedence from Moses. What does that mean? When Isaiah was in existence, all he had access to was the writings of Moses. So Moses is a major writer. And see, you cannot do proper Bible interpretation without considering Moses. See, Moses is not a person you just say, oh, let's put him aside. Let's just put Moses. He gave the law. We're not under grace. Leave Moses. No. Moses is a major writer in the Bible. Moses is one of the most brilliant writers you can have in the Bible. almost all other writings, they have Moses as their foundation. So when you look at John, Moses. When you read about Philippians, think about Moses. When you read about Romans, think about Moses. So Moses is a major writer in the Bible. I'll go through it again. Number one, the Bible is a Christocentric material. Number two, you can have all Greek and Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons and still have wrong interpretations of scriptures. Now list number three, the most important and vital study aid in Bible study is to read. Learn the attitude of reading. Number four, consider removing chapters and verses when reading the Bible. Yeah, because it is in the 13th and 16th century, that the Bible was divided into chapters and verses respectively. Number five, you must understand the basics of the gospel. You must understand that a believer has a bias when he goes through scriptures. Number six, Moses is a major writer. Moses is a major writer. Moses is a major writer. Hallelujah. Moses is a major writer. Now look at verse 7. Ensure to start from the basics and not the difficult to read. Number 7. Ensure that you start from the basics and not the difficult to read. Ensure that you start from the basics and not the difficult to read. Ensure that you start from the basics and not the difficult to read. What does that mean? Remember, we've established over time that the Old Testament were explained, or the Old Testament books are explained in the New Testament books. So what does that mean? Look at it. If I say x is equal to p squared w cubed xr, yeah, consider that to be Old Testament. But when I now come back 5 years after and say x can be symbolized as 15, p can be 55, q can be 22, and r can be 17. What did I do? I've come to explain that mystery that was yet to be explained as x equal to p squared qr cubed, whatever I said. So always start from the most easy or from the simplest to read. Yeah. So start from the basics and not the difficult to read. Don't say you want to start reading the Bible. I want to understand revelations. What was Paul saying? Yeah. You see, that is why we have lots of false teachings from the book of Revelation. Yeah, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelations of Antichrist or the Mark or whatever you can think about. Yeah, it is not the revelation of 5G. Yeah, it's not a revelation of vaccine. It is the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did Paul tell us? Paul told us, he said that if any man, even an angel, preaches any other gospel that brings fear to you, what do you do? You set him aside. Let him be accursed. So you start from the basics. Leave the difficult to read. Read Revelation. So I usually advise people, you know, if you follow the reading pattern we are following for the year, you'd realize that we must have finished reading the epistles before we even went into Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John. So dear saints, if you want to start the Bible, start having a grip, start having a firm grip on Ephesians, Romans, Galatians, you know, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, you know, start having a grip of all these scriptures. Yeah, read Philippians, read Hebrews, read James, read 1 Peter, read John, read John's writings, read Colossians, read Corinthians. Yeah, then you can now go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you can now go into Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Then you can go into what the likes of Isaiah, Ezekiel, you know. So start from the basics, not the difficult to read. The book of Revelation assumes that you are comfortable with Genesis to Jude. What do I mean? Before you read the book of Revelation, it is assumed that you are comfortable with Genesis, Ezekiel. You know that all these scriptures testify of Christ. If you have that, trust me, you won't have issues reading Revelation. So it assumes comfort. You are comfortable with prophets. When you go to Psalms, you are quite comfortable. Epistles, those books are the prerequisites before you get to Revelation. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, nowadays we have people that are saying they are called into last day events, you know, and they focus their ministry on eschatology, last day events, you know, and that's all they teach, you know. But if you don't understand Genesis to Jude, you would have a poor representation or interpretation of the book of Revelation. Glory to God. Now, number eight, never jump to a chapter and a verse without reading the context. Say that again. Never jump to a chapter or a verse without reading the context. You know, what some people do is they jump Romans 10 verse 4. Yeah, look, imagine the book of Revelations. Imagine you go to Revelation chapter 12 or verse chapter 11 or chapter 12 verse 19, you know, and all of that. If you don't read Revelations 1 verse 1, where it shows that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will have issues interpreting Revelations 11, Revelations 12. So for instance, when he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of the testimony, he's not saying when it's testimony time, come and quote that thing. The testimony that is unique to every saint is the testimony of salvation. Yeah, the testimony of the believer is the testimony of salvation. Every other testimony can be gotten by an unbeliever, but this testimony is unique to the believer. So it's expected that don't just jump to Revelations 22. Don't go to Romans 10 verse 4. No, read in what a lot of people do is verse of the day. Yeah, I open to Romans 10 verse 4. And they will now start waiting. Now play background music. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to begin to give you interpretation. Trust me, dear saint, your mind ghost will take over. Yeah, your mind ghost. You see, think about it this way. You see, when you see people's dreams, you can easily know how exposed they are to sound doctrine from their dreams. Yeah, someone says God took her to heaven, you know, and showed her people in hellfire because of trouser. It simply exposes to us our exposure to doctrine. So don't go to the scripture and be saying, what does this say? Holy Spirit, speak to me today. You know, you ponder and ponder and ponder and ponder and meditate. You will begin to bring in your office work, your school work, your finance idea, everything to make it make sense. Yeah, you see, so we have to read contextually. So a lot of basics must have been set as precedent, yeah, before you get to that. So before you get to Romans chapter 10, for instance, there is a lot the writer, the author Paul, has been saying from Romans chapter 1. There's a lot he's been saying. Hallelujah. Yeah, just like the way we explained, by stripes we are healed. If you had continued and maintained the consistency of Isaiah's writing, you will not get confused in Isaiah 55. You will not get confused when he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we've seen that. Don't just jump to the middle of a chapter. Don't jump into the middle of a conversation. Number 9, When your eyes of understanding is enlightened, never hesitate to make corrections to the things you must have been preaching or teaching that were wrong. I'll say that one more time. When your eyes of understanding are enlightened, never hesitate to make correction to the things you must have been teaching for the longest of time. Yeah, correction. You must never hesitate to make corrections to the things you might have been holding on to that are wrong. See, that is why as saints, we don't encourage people shouting when the word of truth is taught. Yeah, you don't clap for the man that is preaching. What you do with your hands is to take notes. You sit down like a student and take notes. Yeah, it's a wrong practice to be hearing the truth of God's word. I'm shouting, preach on, sir. Hear on, sir. We hear you, sir. You know, there's a time for rejoicing when the truth of God's word is taught. But not trying to say, hear them. Increase the volume at the back. They are not hearing. A lot of times I realize that those words are actually for people that are shouting. A lot of times. Yeah, those words are actually for people that are shouting. Hallelujah. So when your eyes of understanding, when they are enlightened, never hesitate. Don't think twice. Make correction. Make correction to the truth of God's word. Make correction to what you've been holding on to. Make correction to the ideas you've had from the truth of God's word. You might have preached it for 20 years, my dear saint, my dear sister, my dear brother. Make corrections. Hallelujah. Look at number 10. I wrote number 10 in my book. I said, interpretation of the Bible is discovered and not created. Yeah, take that down properly. Bible interpretation is to be discovered and not to be created. What does that mean? It means that the word of God is already inspired. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, you can write that down. The word of God is already inspired. Yeah, all scriptures are given by inspiration. Dear saints, when you get to the Bible, what do? You try to discover what he said, not create your rhema. No, the Bible doesn't have several meanings. It has one meaning. All saints are to discover the same meaning. Hence, you see Ephesians chapter 4. It says that he gave some prophets, some apostles, some pastors, which are teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we may all come into unity, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith. Every saint is to say the same thing. Yet, there's nothing like my personal rhema. Yet, there's nothing like the way the Holy Spirit showed me. If it doesn't submit to the scriptures that have already been inspired, then your Holy Spirit is wrong. Yeah, I didn't mix words there. Yeah, if your Holy Spirit interprets to you, yeah, what is not consistent with teachings from the scriptures, you and your Holy Spirit, you are wrong. Hallelujah. There's no better way I could say that. Oh, okay. let me try and say it a better way. Yeah, if you have any interpretation from your Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, though. Yeah, this is actually your mind spirit. Yeah. If you have any interpretation that is not consistent with the truth of God's word, yeah, your Holy Spirit is not overly correct. Your Holy Spirit, I just said it the same way. I actually said your Holy Spirit is wrong, but I just helped you. Yeah, I just said it somewhere. Somewhere better. Yeah. Number 10, you said interpretation of the Bible is to be discovered, not to be created. Interpretation of the Bible is to be discovered and not to be created. Bible interpretation is to be discovered and not to be created. We are to discover, what does Genesis mean? Don't create. No. Don't use Genesis to use for your personal business. No. Don't use the Bible to teach business. No. Don't use the Bible to teach finance. No. Don't use the Bible to teach. Glory to God. Yeah. So the Bible interpretation is to be discovered, not to be created. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. Look at verse 11. Never exalt a revelation of a man over the revelation of the word. I'll say that again. Never ever. Yeah, that might be tautology, but I mean, you get the point. Yeah, just to emphasize. Never exalt a revelation of a man over the revelation of the word. What does that mean? It means that the fact that I have results or I have proofs. Yeah, we're in a very interesting generation right now where people know the mark of the calling of God upon your life by the cars you drive, by the jets you have, by the statements you have, from a very interesting point of view. Statements like, I can never be poor because I'm serving the Lord. Yeah, I can. No. Those are statements that are made out of what they are made out of, actually. Yeah. But never exalt. Yeah, you don't listen to a man's revelation of the word because of the result. Yeah, including myself that is speaking. Yeah, don't pick a truth of God's word because it is me that is saying it. Pick a truth of God's word because it is consistently taught in the Bible. I'll say that again. You take a truth of God's word, including from me, your pastor, to the degree in which it submits to the Bible. I'll say that one more time. I'm not mixing my words here. Yeah, never exalt the revelation of a man, including your pastor, over what the word says. Truth is that most religions and other religions actually started from what you call personal revelations men said they had. A man wakes up today and say, Holy Spirit tapped me by 3:45 p.m. and said I should go there and go and name my church 3:45 p.m. Yeah, and he says that I'm called out to a sect of people to no. We must see the consistency with that revelation or that dream or that instruction from the Holy Spirit in correspondence or what to be corresponding with what the truth of God's word says. So never exalt my revelation or a revelation of any man. Paul says, if we preach or any angel preaches any other gospel, what do you do? Let him be accursed. Yeah. So we must explain. Remember, we are saying this because we've laid a foundation in previous weeks. We have already explained that exegesis is context and the most important and is very important in Bible study. Number 12. A verse of the Bible today can never mean what it never meant. Yeah, this is very important. A verse of the Bible today can never mean what it never meant. Let me say it again. A verse of the Bible today can never mean what it never meant. Let me say it another way. A verse of the Bible today can never mean any other thing tomorrow. Glory to God. Yeah. A verse of the Bible today can never mean any other thing tomorrow. So it's either you are correct or you are wrong. If I write a letter to you personally and someone reads that letter, no matter how intelligent the person tries to read that letter, if he doesn't understand my relationship with you or what I meant when I wrote that letter, if he doesn't understand, he has every tendency to what? Say something that is false. So I'll say that again. A verse of the Bible today can never mean what it never meant. What does that mean? Innovation can come in the delivery, but not in the content. I'll say that one more time. Innovation can come in delivery, but not in the content. What is the content? The gospel of Christ. What is the content of scriptures? To make thee wise unto salvation. What is the content of scriptures? The testimony of our Lord and Savior. The content must be consistent. However, innovation, if at all innovation must come into play, might be in delivery. What would that mean? Now, that is not open. That is not saying you act the drama, delivery, you dance the drama. No, there's nothing called dance ministry. Nobody is called to come and glorify anybody with dance. No. Nobody is called to do that. So nobody is called to do that. Yeah, nobody is called to do that. Nobody is called into that drama unit. If you like to act drama, that's fine. But nobody is called into dancing unit. So when I mean innovation, I'm not saying how to act Jesus. No. The gospel, when Jesus resurrected, what did he say? He says, go into the world and preach the gospel, not act the gospel, nor dance the gospel. You don't have any biblical stand to defend dancing as saints in church. You don't have any biblical stand to defend drama as saints in church. Yeah, the gathering of saints is for serious people, serious-minded people. The gathering of saints entails that we come together as serious-minded people to learn the truth of God's word. Yeah, so when I mean innovation, yeah, maybe your choice of words, maybe how you use words, you know, people differ by the application of words and the extent in which they're exposed to their grammar as a whole. Yeah, but the content must be the same. It must be the same. I'll say that again. A verse of the Bible today can never mean what it never meant. Can never today mean what it never meant. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Number 13. You have the next 60, 70, 80 years to understand the Bible. Don't try to rush the Bible for new rhema. You know that when you write that rhema, put it in... those two commas that used to hang in the air, quotation mark. You can just write that, forgive me. Don't try to rush for new. You see that thing called rhema? You know, we explained what difference between rhema and logos is, you know, because what is really rhema, what is logos? We've done a teaching on that already, you know, we've made clarifications to that. What is logos, thought system of the word of God? Yes, so now he says that you have the next 60 years to understand the Bible. Don't rush to be looking for new things. Just study the Bible. Don't be rushing to be looking for new things. Don't try to rush for that so-called thing you call rhema. You have the next 60, 70, 80 years to understand the Bible. Yeah, so take it little by little. Poco a poco, that's a musical word. Little by little, little by little. Don't just try to rush everything because you want to be appear to people as sound. In fact, that now leads to number 14. Number 14 says, don't read the Bible to impress or to show off. Hallelujah. Don't read the Bible to impress or to show off. Don't read the Bible to impress or to show off. Yeah, don't read the Bible to impress or to show off. When you begin to read the Bible to impress or to show off, it will not be far-fetched when you now begin to see some nonsense make sense. Don't read the Bible to show off. Don't study to show off. Don't study to say, I will show you. No, as believers, we are not called to show them pepper. We are called to show love. Don't study to impress. Don't study to show off. I'm sound, I know 20 Greek words. No. Don't study to impress. That's number 14. Don't try to read the Bible to impress or to show off. Don't try to read the Bible to impress or to show off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at number 15. I said, try to always identify the beginning of the thoughts of the writer. Try to always identify the beginning of the thoughts of a writer. Try to always identify the beginning of the thoughts of a writer. try to understand, where does this thought begin? You know, even notice when I read scriptures, when I say go to 2 Timothy 3, for instance, I say go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. When you get to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, what do you usually hear me say? Oh, yeah, start from verse 14. Start from verse 13. Oh, yeah, let's go to verse 10. Let's go to verse 1. You see that? Yeah, we're trying to identify the line of thought of the writer. So you realize, I'll say, oh, go to Luke 24, verse 24. You say, start from verse 21. Oh, no, let's start from verse 17. Why? So that we can have a proper understanding. So always try to identify the beginning of the thought of a writer. Never start a talk in the middle of an idea. What does that mean? Never start a conversation, yeah, except you lay a foundational background. You know, these are truths to hold on to, remember, on the road to being a study man, on your road to being a word man. Yeah, these are truths you can hold on your road to being a researchful reader of the Bible. Never start a talk in the middle of an idea. Yeah, I mean, we did the proper exegesis to that through scriptures. Remember when we explained James chapter 4? Ye receive not because ye ask amiss. You know, if you take that out of context, you have taken a thought in the middle of a conversation. That is the only way you will think that James was teaching about prayer. Yeah, but James wasn't teaching about prayer. So when he says, ye ask not and receive not because he wasn't teaching about prayer. He wasn't teaching about. What did we do on Sunday? We started from James chapter 1. We saw what he had laid as a foundation. So remember number 15? Yeah, try to identify the thoughts of the writer. Under this number 15, I've already said something like never start a talk in the middle of an idea. And some other things you need to hold on to is find out who is talking, what is being said, who is spoken to. What is being said, who is spoken to, find out who is talking. What is being said? Who is spoken to? For instance, see Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Look at 1 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy. So you must understand, is he writing to a group of people or writing to a person? What is the relationship between who is being written to and who is writing? Yeah, so always I try to understand the beginning of a thought. Don't start from the middle. Don't, you see, it is poor Bible reading that makes people think that Paul's name was changed from Saul. It is not in any Bible. Yeah, you know, you hear people say things like, oh, when you have an encounter with God, your name will change. You can be bearing a name and still be a saint forever doing the work of ministry. I'll say that one more time. Yeah, you can be bearing a name you think is not right. You can be bearing an Islamic name or whatever tribal name you want to think about. You know, yeah, you might change it for reasons best known to you, maybe for interaction with people, but that can never ever affect or change your relationship with God. You are safe forever. So a poor reading of scriptures, we think, Saul appeared. And Jesus, Saul had a revelation, and in the revelation, after the revelation, God now changed his name. Oh, dear sin, if you want God to change your name, pray for an encounter. Yeah, you must pray for an encounter. You know, there is a difference between dwelling in the secret place and dwelling in the dwelling place. Yeah, sometimes you might be in the secret place, but not in the dwelling place. Sometimes you might be dwelling, but not dwelling. When you dwell enough, God will change. No. It is laziness that allowed us to come to such a conclusion. Go to Acts 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You must have read Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9 verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Can you see? We call the name Saul. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one man called Saul. So in the revelation of Ananias, the name that Paul was called was Saul. Look at verse 17, Acts 9:17. Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, what did he call him? He called him Brother Saul. Brother Saul. So Saul was not his former name that changed to Paul. Yeah? Look at Acts 13, verse 9. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul. That means for sometimes people called him Saul, sometimes people called him Paul. For then Saul, who also is called Paul, it didn't say then Paul, whose name was changed from Saul. Look at it though. Look at what Luke, the writer of Acts, is saying. Then Saul, into bracket, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Can you see? You don't need to change your name before you receive the Holy Ghost. You don't need to change your name before you receive the Holy Ghost. So, what is different between Paul and Saul? Greek is Paul. Hebrew is Saul. Simple. He is not Stephanie. He is not more than that. Yeah, so, it's like if your name is Joy and your name is Ayo. So, I can call you Joy. I can call you Ayo. Ayo is Joy in Yoruba. What we used to say is that, oh, your name used to be Joy. Now, okay, I think this will make more sense to you. Yeah, your name used to be Joy, but you had a revelation and encounter with God, then God changed your name to Ayo. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense in any way or any form. Yeah, so his Greek name, Paul, is Hebrew name, Saul. Yeah, so it's just diversity in language or different languages. So that's number 15. What did I say? Try to always identify the beginning of the thought of a writer. Yeah, if you had read Acts chapter 13 before you read Acts chapter 17, you realize that there was no name change. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 16. Words only have life in the context in which they are used. If you know me well, you know that I always emphasize this. Yeah, words only have life within the confines or within the context in which they are used. A word. So the dictionary gives you probable meanings, but doesn't give you an absolute meaning in everything. So you know the example I always give. I wake up on Monday morning. I say I want to go and fix my car. I wake up on Tuesday morning. I want to go and fix money in the bank. What qualifies my fix is the action I'm about to take. If it is about my car, it has to be fixed in reference to repair. If it's about the bank, it has to be fixed in reference to depositing money in the bank. So you can't begin to now read fix everywhere. Every time you just say fix, you just say repair. It will be very interesting of you. So that means when someone else says, I want to go and fix money in the bank, what you will now infer to me is that I want to go and repair money in the bank. You see, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So words only have life within the context in which they are used. Words only have life within the context in which they are used. Words only have life within the context in which they are used. Number 17. Take note of this one. Dear saints, write your name. Write your name in your book, in your writing material. Say, dear so-so and so. You can lie to everybody, but please don't lie to yourself. You can lie to everybody, but don't lie to yourself. You can lie to everybody, but don't lie to yourself. You can lie to everybody, but don't lie to yourself. Yeah, in fact, it's not even permitted to lie to everybody. But let's assume, but please don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Number 18, we will stop in number 18, you know, for today. Limit the things you hear. Yeah, limit the things you hear. This is a very important tooling. But you know, some people just say, I used to be like that. You know, I listen to this one for miracles. I listen to this one for word of knowledge. I listen to this one for teaching. I like the fluency of this one. You know, at the end of the day, you are just breeding a confused believer. Because let me lie to you, not everybody is saying the same thing. There's no need trying to. If everybody was saying the same thing, Paul would not say mark those people, mark and avoid. Paul would not say let them be accursed. Not every person that bears the name pastor, apostle, prophet, or prophet, apostle, pastor is saying the same thing with what the apostles have delivered unto us. So be careful of the things you expose your heart to. Be careful of the things you expose your mind to. Don't just listen to anybody, anyhow, anytime, anywhere. Hallelujah. You know, we will stop here and continue on Sunday. Dear saints, we trust that you've been blessed by the truth of God's word this evening. These are truths you hold on to. On Sunday, we'll continue with some principles exemplified. Look at some principles exemplified in scriptures with examples.